Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A new GOP House report suggests the FBI should investigate Liz Cheney over the congressional investigation into the January 6th attack. ABC's Selena Wang says President-elect Trump is also responding.
Donald Trump made this in a Truth Social post at about 3 a.m. this morning. He's claiming that Liz Cheney could be in a lot of trouble and that she should be investigated. So Donald Trump's post follows a report released by House Republicans led by Congressman Loudermilk that says that Liz Cheney should face a criminal investigation for her role in investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol.
The Supreme Court agreeing to hear TikTok's case. The China-owned company working to stop a forced sale by mid-January or face a U.S. ban. The Federal Reserve Board issued a 0.25% interest rate cut following its policy meeting, saying it's still working to tame inflation. It's the latest board meeting before the Trump administration takes over with the wild card of planned tariffs on the table. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Madison police provided an update on Monday's school shooting at Abundant Life Christian School, where three people, including the shooter, were killed and six people were hurt. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
Madison police say they've moved on to the investigation phase. In a press conference, they also offered a big correction, saying it was a second grade teacher who called 911, not a second grade student. Police Chief Sean Barnes.
Yesterday, after looking at the computer-aided dispatch system, it seems as if a call came from a second grader. It actually read, the call came from a second grade teacher. That was a mistake. That's my responsibility, and I apologize.
Meanwhile, rumors are running rampant on social media, and the big question is why? That's what authorities are working on right now.
Identifying a motive is our top priority, but at this time, it appears that the motive was a combination of factors.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Police are still investigating what led up to the shooting. Today is the final day of meetings and committees until the end of the month for the city of La Crosse. The Police and Fire Commission will meet to discuss promotions and appointments and schedule interviews in 2025. Then the Economic and Community Development Commission will discuss applying for a grant for the Caledonia Park Place project for a total of $75,000. The City Plan Commission and Board of Public Works will meet on December 30th for the final meetings of the year. Tomorrow is expected to be the first meaningful snowfall of the season. Is your snowblower ready? With more, here's Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
With the snowy season underway, it's time to get your snowblowers ready. Experts say to check the scraper bar and the snowshoes to see if they need to be replaced. Then, fire it up. If it doesn't start, take a closer look. Check the cooling machine, drain the gas, and replace it with a small amount of clean and fresh fuel.
The Cooley region is expected to see at least a few inches of snow with tomorrow's system. We'll have more details coming up in our forecast. For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Packers improve on defense. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur, after reviewing Sunday night's win over the Seahawks, says he likes what he sees from the defense.
It's never going to be perfect. They hit us on two bounce schemes that, you know, they got big explosion plays on. Outside of that, I thought our run defense was really solid.
More Badgers leaving the football program. Wide receivers C.J. Williams and Will Pauling entering the transfer portal. That's three of the Badgers' top five receivers no longer with the team. In Las Vegas, the Bucks won the NBA Cup with a 97-81 win over the Oklahoma City Thunder, but the Bucks did not break out the champagne provided by the league, saying they're not done yet. Giannis named the MVP. Damian Lillard had 23 points, though, and said winning the cup is significant.
To be back again, and then we end up playing against a younger team, a hungry team, a number one in the West. I just thought the way we played and how we was able to do it was what felt the best.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy and breezy, with temperatures slowly sliding from the mid-20s to the teens tonight. With snow arriving early tomorrow morning, it could be heavy at times, and visibility will be reduced and roads will be slippery, as snow accumulations look to be around 2 to 5 inches. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide Text to Win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look at the day's headlines. And we're getting down there. Your final chance to win Growing Up Gift List, Text to Win Contest, and fabulous prizes. We'll tell you how to do it.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX. La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
What's up, everybody? Happy hump day. Hope your week is going well. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Folks, I sure hope you've got that Civic Media app downloaded because we are coming to the very last days of Civic Media's grown-up gift list text to win sweepstakes contest. In the 4 o'clock hour today, you'll be given a keyword. You're going to text that keyword via the app and only the app. And that's going to qualify you to win $100 cold hard cash or an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin. Dells, both very nice around the holidays. A little getaway or a little extra cash in your pocket to help with your gift giving this season. Your text will also register you to win one of Civic Media's 8 grown-up gift winners from a grab bag, all kinds of good stuff in there. Again, adult-type gifts, humidifiers, luggage, espresso machines, and robot vacuum. So again, that coming up at the 4 o'clock hour. Congratulations already to a big group of our winners, April and Wausau from WXCO. We got Fred from Cottage Grove, already a winner, listening on WMDX. Steven from Onalaska, listening on WLCX, Jeff and Augusta listening to WCFW, a whole bunch of folks, and of course, Jessica and Cudahy listening where I originate from on the WAUK. So congrats to all our winners already. You too can join their ranks. Go get that Civic Media app and get ready for the keyword of the day in the 4 o'clock hour. Today is one of those days where there has been a lot of news that's happened. So I'm going to try to get us through all of that important news of the day, because again, here at Civic Media, we're all about that real news and great conversation. But as it is the holidays, I wanted to have something a little fun for us in the hopper. So in the 3 o'clock hour, everybody, I'm going to want to definitely hear from all of you. What are your favorite Christmas songs? But perhaps just as importantly, maybe even more importantly, what are the songs you just cannot stand anymore? I have some of those myself, some of my favorite artists queued up, some of my favorite tracks, and also some of the weirdest tracks that I had like never heard of before when I went on my weird Christmas song hunting expedition before today's show. Big shout out to Cardi, my producer, for getting all these tracks ready for us. So we're going to have some fun today at 3 o'clock. Can't do politics all the time. That would be exhausting. And on that same point, I wanted to start with the big Bucks win yesterday. You all know I'm a little bit of a sports junkie, really enjoy all of our major sports leagues here in Wisconsin. We're very blessed. I also, of course, love the Admirals. But it has been all about the Bucks in the Emirates NBA Cup. So my first question to everybody is, do you think the NBA Cup is a good idea or is it just lame? 855-752-4842. I don't know if Cardi's got an opinion on this one. But, you know, I think collectively we've had a bit of a shared viewpoint, all of us, you out there too. The NBA season can sometimes be a little boring until you start getting closer to the playoffs. So I personally have been pro NBA Cup. Cardi, are you into the NBA Cup or are you kind of a take it or leave it?
It's new to me. You know, it's all different. Before they didn't have that, and now they're adding all these new tournaments and stuff. Indiana won last year, and now they have the Emirates Cup this year. I think it adds a little bit more, excitement to the league. You know, having more tournaments for them to win.
Something to focus the attention and also, frankly, get the players motivated.
Right.
This is the second year for the NBA Cup. And the Bucks, I think, surprising some, going 7-0, winning every single game, beating, of course, Oklahoma City last night. Many consider the Oklahoma City Thunder to be the best team in the NBA. What do you think, Cardi? I mean, I thought the Bucks' performance yesterday was singularly impressive, especially on the defensive end.
I'll add this to that insight too, as well. The Bucks started off with a horrible record. They're kind of similar to how the Bucks came in, I believe, like 2002, when they have Big Dog, Glenn Robinson, Sam Cassell, Ray Allen.
Big Dog, yeah. Horrible Sam Cassell record. With the alien head. I mean, right? The man is the weirdest dome in the NBA.
I definitely agree. I definitely agree. Him and Gary Payton both.
Oh, yeah, Gary Payton's got a dome on him for sure. I mean, yeah, that was the vibe, right? Like, as the Bucks opened up the season, like, all doom and gloom, and here they are making it happen. I thought, first of all, I have loved watching and experiencing Doc Rivers as a coach. I think he has been just what the Bucks have needed, and there certainly was a lot of hubbub over the coaching changes, right? But I feel like they've kind of gotten in stride. And yeah, I think Doc Rivers, what he had to say after the big win last night was really on point. He said this: our win reminds us we can beat anybody. And we don't care if anybody else knows that. We only care about us. It's like what I said on the first day of camp. We can also lose to anybody if we don't play right. We learned that lesson today. I think it just helps the messaging that when we play right, we play together, we listen. That's an excellent defensive team. And they forced Dame and Giannis to pass the ball. And they both did that. They passed it so much that they were able to get back to work. This is a teaching moment for us about different ways to win, like 100%, right? With Middleton not in the action, watching, I think, Lillard and Giannis just put on defensive clinic, sharing the ball, and then Giannis putting up another triple-double. That was really exciting basketball for me to watch. I don't know about you, Cardi, but when they play like that, like, I will keep my butt in a chair and watch an entire NBA game. Most of the time, I get a little ticked off about the trotting up and down the court, right? And then the grandstanding. So I'm pro NBA Cup. If you all have an opinion out there, 855-752-4842. I also want to hear from you if you also agree with Cardi and I. Sam Cassell had one of the weirdest domes in all of the NBA. It's always like, man, you're the dude that probably needs some hair on the dome. Oh, poor Sam. Oh, I loved also watching the action on Twitter following the game yesterday. Because here's the things that, like, playing in a tournament like this for the Bucks in Vegas, right? It's not on your home court. It wasn't Oklahoma City's home court. You can call that audience pretty objective, right? And when Giannis exits the game with over a minute left, that crowd, that not hometown crowd, starts chanting MVP, right? MVP. Like, that gave me chills last night. I was digging that. And, you know, Giannis, he's about the W's. Like, let's get those W's put up. So it was really cool. Again, down Middleton, who is, I think, one of the anchors on that team. It was really great to see him come together and put the win on the board for the cup. Let's take a listen. I thought this was really cool. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about the action on Twitter last night that I thought was pretty entertaining. But I, you know, many of us are aware that one of the hooks of the NBA Cup is that the winning team, each player gets $500,000. Well, Damian Lillard, he certainly has plenty of bucks. He had this to say about the $500,000 prize package. Let's take a listen.
What are you going to do with the $500K if you win?
I don't know yet. I've been doing this a long time, so when I get it, I ain't gonna just blow it or, you know, go crazy. I'm gonna probably go to the support staff, you know, our training staff, the people that, you know, come in every day, all day, when we get to go home, and try to do something to support them.
I've known this guy for a long time.
Oh, 500. Oh,
okay.
Just a little portion of it.
You're always about giving back. Thanks so much, Dame. Good luck tonight.
So good to see you. Appreciate it.
I just love that. I mean, hey, spread a little of the love around. I also think the prize packages like this do a lot for like non-marquee players, right? And I would frankly like to see something like this, at least in Major League Baseball, right? Where you have utility players that aren't rolling in the dough, that aren't marrying Hollywood A-list actors, you know, that are just not with the big contracts with 7+0s on them, right? Like, that is nice. I think it is an incentive. Love seeing Dame committing to spreading a little of the love around himself. And certainly there was a ton of love for the Bucks last night on the twit. Giannis is now a 2-time MVP. He's a NBA Finals MVP. He was named the NBA Cup MVP. He's been a Defensive Player of the Year. He's been the most improved player. He's an 8-time All-Star, a 6-time All-NBA First Team player, and he was a member of the NBA 75th Anniversary Team. Like, nobody else has all of those things put together. I think it's really unique. Feel very lucky to have Giannis still on the squad. The one thing that I saw on the twit that was getting me a little bit hot under the collar was the prognosticators about like when Giannis might leave Milwaukee. I was like, hush, y'all. Well, like, we just won the cup. Can we get through this season before you all start raining on the Bucks parade? And Giannis, at least to date, has seemed very committed to Milwaukee. And I certainly, he has left his footprint here. But folks, again, we got a huge show of news things that are going on. Of course, I always want to hear from you as we discuss the news of the day. We're going to talk about the Fed interest rate announcement that just became official about an hour ago. What does that mean for your pocketbook? We're going to talk government shutdown. What's all in that 1,500-page behemoth government funding continuing resolution? What are its odds of success? We got to talk about the Gates ethics report. And of course, I got to give you the updates on the tragic shooting at the Abundant Life Christian School in Madison, Wisconsin, and also the latest on Luigi Mangione. All of that coming up this hour. And of course, our dissertation, our deep dive into your favorite holiday classics and the most annoying Christmas tunes out there, all coming up right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Don't go anywhere. It's hump day. We're going to talk some more news when we come back. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In official meeting rooms around the country, 538 electors for the 2024 presidential election met December 17th to cast their vote on behalf of their state's results. 13 of those Electoral College electors are accused 2020 fake electors, some of whom still face prosecution. Trump campaign associates coordinated a plot in 7 battleground states to submit a fraudulent slate of Republican electors. The plot failed when Vice President Mike Pence refused to participate and certified the results. The alleged fake electors in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Nevada, New Mexico, Georgia, and Arizona were investigated by state officials, the January 6th committee, and the special counsel. Fake electors in Michigan, Georgia, and Arizona still face trial. Nevada prosecutors just refiled charges December 12th. No charges were brought in New Mexico, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. 13 of those electors were renominated by their state Republican parties as electors in 2024. 6 of the 15 awaiting trial for forgery in Michigan were renominated. 6 Nevada electors were reindicted last week on forgery charges, 2 of whom were renominated. Still unclear is whether Trump will include the fake electors in his promised pardons for those accused and convicted for the January 6th insurrection. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Keep drinking coffee, stare me down across the table while I look outside. So many things I'd say if only I were able, but I just keep quiet and count the cars.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome. If you're just joining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We were talking about the NBA Emirates Cup in the last segment. And I just wanted to share this text from one of our regular listeners and callers, Matt from Middleton. He points out that, you know, the United Arab Emirates, which owns Emirates Airlines, which is the sponsor, has an absolutely abysmal record on human rights and human rights abuses, and that we have now sort of crossed over into this very complicated era of sports. And thanks, Matt, for this prompt and this commentary. You know, when we look at the Live Golf, right, like set up by Saudi Arabia, right, we look at the sponsorships that the Emirates Airlines has made. They've got relationships in soccer. They're sponsoring the NBA Cup. There is this concept when we look into geopolitics, and I'm going to blank on the portmanteau that describes this, but it's where state actors, governments that have very, what I would say, bad, not good records relating to freedom of the press, equal treatment under the law for women, literacy, human rights abuse, name your issue, right? Where as part of effectively a PR campaign, these governments through agencies or businesses like the Emirates Airlines, in this case, with respect to the NBA Cup, engage in these billion-dollar sponsorships, these multi-hundred-million-dollar sponsorships, to frankly improve their image worldwide. This isn't new. This has been around. There has been great criticism of, for example, where the World Cup for soccer has chosen to play. Ah, one of our texters, thank you so much. Not texter, my colleague at Civic Media texting me and reminding me that it's called sports washing. Yes, that is the portmanteau that I was looking for. Thank you, Luke. Shout out to you. You know, to improve their reputations. This is going on with FIFA and the World Cup. And it's interesting when you look especially at something like the World Cup. There weren't any other nations that bid for it except the UAE, I believe. So the next World Cup is going to be in Dubai. And one of the reasons that it's becoming harder and harder for countries to host things like the World Cup is that you have to have billions of dollars to invest in the infrastructure and how to house all the workers to build all the facilities. You need tons of hotel space. You need all of the roads and sewer and all of this infrastructure. It's an incredibly expensive undertaking. A number of cities, if we look at the Olympics, for example, that have hosted the Olympics actually haven't made money relative to their infrastructure improvements. Now, that seems to have changed. Paris in 2024 seems to have cracked the code, but this is a very real problem. So my big thanks to Matt out of Middleton, also my colleague at Civic Media, Luke, for bringing this issue up. You know, when we talk about the NBA Cup, when we talk about these different sponsored or partnered events and leagues, you know, there is some complicated underbelly to this. It is all not all unicorns, roses, and sunshine. Thank you all. This is why Civic Media is all about real news and great conversation. It's always better when you all are participating. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Wanted to share with you all before we have to go to our next set of messages that the Fed has just announced that it is reducing interest rates another 0.25%. This equates to 0.75% decrease over the course of this year. What does that mean for you and your family and your pocketbook? It means that your credit card, if you are running a balance on credit cards, that will cost less. Credit card interest rates are pegged to the federal interest rate plus a whole bunch. But when the federal interest rate goes down, you do pay less on your credit card interest. You got a car loan, a home mortgage that is variable. Yep, that's going to go down too. That is why there has been so much discussion about the independence of the Fed. Because, of course, Donald Trump ran on the idea that he can lower interest rates. Well, the Fed is supposed to be independent, is supposed to be free of presidential control. And economists get concerned because if you lower interest rates too quickly or artificially, you can actually then end up juicing inflation. It can lead to, again, all of economics is sort of cause and effect and domino impacts. So very, very careful that the Fed maintain its independence. Again, in Jerome Powell's statements today, saying we've got all good positive economic indicators. In fact, wages for working people on the rise, unemployment low, and the interest rate, the overall interest rate is nearly at the just slightly over 2% target that the Fed looks at. And again, just a reminder about these macroeconomic things, the Fed, when it is looking at interest rate policy, it is usually looking at both potential inflationary impacts, the overall cost of borrowing for businesses and people like you, consumers, as well as the unemployment rate. And we're trying to look at a good and healthy balance. Why is this really important? Well, we got a potential government shutdown that might start at 12:01 a.m. on Saturday. We got a new administration coming in. And let's see what Donald Trump and the Republicans do with what is, at a macro national level, a very, very healthy economy. Now, always remember, there is a long tail. If you don't feel like you've been seeing the results of that healthy economy in your own pocketbook, in your own household budgets, yeah, it takes a while for that to filter through and down. But watch this space. Again, the Fed reducing interest rates today for the third time this year, bringing the total amount of reduction to 0.75%. Again, we have basically recovered from that recession coming out of the COVID epidemic. When we come back, we're going to talk government shutdown and that ethics report about Matt Gaetz. You thought it was buried? Maybe not so fast. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hate to break it to you, babe, but I'm not drowning. There's no one here to save. Who cares if you disagree?
Listening to the talk of lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For a lot of people, the holiday season is an exciting and fun time. But for just as many, it brings about thoughts of loneliness and depression. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. Those thoughts of loneliness and depression motivated one woman in southwest Wisconsin to begin an organization to help. Details on that next.
With over 60 years of experience in the auction business, Steffes Group is the trusted source for buying high-quality equipment. From farm and construction equipment to transportation and land, Steffes Group Auctions features a diverse selection of assets for whatever your needs may be. Bid with confidence, knowing that Steffes Group's team of professionals prioritizes honesty, integrity, and outstanding service. Visit steffesgroup.com to view our upcoming auctions and start bidding on the equipment you need today. That's steffesgroup.com, steffesgroup.com.
Sue Springer founded Suicide Prevention of Southwest Wisconsin after she lost a brother to suicide. She said agriculture is not immune to feelings of loneliness and depression simply because, for many farm families, you're working long hours and, in many cases, you're working alone. She says holidays can bring about certain triggers that really amplify the feeling of loneliness and depression.
All those Hallmark commercials and movies that everything's happy and content, and that can be triggering, you're right. And not everybody has the ideal family. Not everybody has the ideal bank account to be able to fit into all of the wishes for Christmas, and it can cause depression and stress. But then there's also people that are lonely and don't have the family support or friends, and there's also people that are grieving that have lost someone. And it's hard to be happy over the holidays when you've lost a loved one that you wish was there with you.
Sue Springer, she's the founder of Suicide Prevention of Southwest Wisconsin. She encourages people that suffer with depression or loneliness to use resources available to them. If you notice someone that is lonely, why not think about inviting them to be a part of your activities or do something simple, like bringing them groceries.
The 2025 Dairy Strong Conference is returning to the KI Convention Center in Green Bay on January 15th and 16th. It brings together forward-thinking farmers and ag professionals to tackle the industry's most significant issues today. Leading dairy's path forward, attendees have the chance to hear from inspiring speakers and experts on policy, sustainability, and the future of dairy. Opportunities to sponsor or exhibit this event are still available. Visit DairyStrong.org for more information.
And we're watching Washington, D.C., where a must-pass bill to avert a government shutdown now includes about $10 billion in farm aid to start. Mike Johnson, the House Speaker, said it was a last-minute breakthrough to try to help production agriculture. We'll keep you posted. I'm Pam Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and breezy, with temperatures slowly sliding from the mid-20s to the teens tonight. With snow arriving early tomorrow morning, it could be heavy at times, and visibility will be reduced and roads will be slippery, as snow accumulations look to be around 2 to 5 inches. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot.
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge. There's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy, and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday, as Congress lurches from shutdown showdowns to long-range gridlock, we'll ask Joe Zepecki about Tammy Baldwin's recipe for rising above it.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
I ain't got nothing but love for you 5 days a week. You can always find me right here from 2 to 4 p.m. all across the Civic Media Talk Radio Network. But not to worry, there is a reprieve. Civic Media's got special festive music coming to you, even on our talk networks, from 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve throughout the entirety of Christmas Day. The News Talk Network will be playing your favorite Christmas classics, and maybe even one of those annoying ones, which we'll be talking about today in the 3 o'clock hour. So keep it locked to Civic Media all through your holidays. We're going to have you covered. Also, on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, I will be sharing some of my very special memories of this time of year with each and every one of you, as well as passing along some of my holiday wishes to each of you, because we don't get to do this without each and every one of you. And again, always about real news and great conversation. I wanted to dive into one of these big news topics of the day. Did you know that the little Christmas present from Congress might be that our federal government shuts down starting this Saturday at 12:01 a.m.? Yep, here we are again, everybody. Seems like this is the ghost of Christmas past that just keeps on coming back. Yep, it is the old government funding continuing resolution debate that has come back to haunt us again and again and again. If you will recall, everybody, the last time this happened, it ended up resulting in Kevin McCarthy being booted out of the speaker chair. Yeah, that effort led by Matt Gaetz back in the day. Yep, yep. It was about government funding and a continuing resolution to keep the government funded. Back then, there was more pressure because we were about to enter into that presidential election cycle. And it is generally not a good thing if your party is responsible for shutting the federal government down during an election cycle. Now, the stakes are a little different, and so the politics are a little different. Now, the current version of the continuing resolution doesn't look like a simple continuing resolution to keep the government going. It is a 1,500-page behemoth. Now, if you are a Capitol Hill insider, if you are a Beltway person, what you will know is that these bills are often called Christmas tree bills. Why are they called Christmas tree bills? Because legislators will put their little ornaments, all of their little special funding requests for their constituents' pet projects within their congressional districts, into these continuing resolutions, which means this is easy fodder for basically any politician to point at all of their colleagues and go, see, they're trying to fill the bill with all kinds of pork. And of course, most Republicans aren't missing out on that opportunity to level that criticism. It is an enormous bill. There's no doubt about that. There is a lot of new funding in this continuing resolution that has nothing to do or would not be required to keep the government running. That's what's interesting here. If you would like to ask a question or make a comment about keeping the federal government going and this looming deadline for funding the federal government, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Now, what a continuing resolution does is it is a kicking of the can down the road. It simply, in its most stripped down form, simply funds the government at existing levels, right? Doesn't cut anything, doesn't usually include new spending. This one does that, and it's got additional new spending, most notably a big package to replace the Francis Scott Key Bridge that went down in Maryland, okay, outside of Baltimore, right? That is a huge chunk of funding. It's in this continuing resolution. The other massive chunk of funding is going to a bunch of agencies that have something to do with emergency aid relief. Ah, yes. Remember this little controversy from the election cycle and that FEMA and the federal government wasn't doing enough to help the victims of the Hurricane Helene weather event. Yeah, well, there's a bunch more funding for emergency relief in this bill. It also includes a third additional measure, which has general bipartisan support. Again, a bit unusual to include these other elements in a continuing resolution, which at its most stripped down basic just keeps government funding going at its current levels. This CR also bans a controversial practice by pharmacy benefit managers. PBMs are the middlemen between patients and insurance companies that basically set prices for pharmaceuticals. It's one of the areas of the law that is pretty technocratic, but at its most basic, our federal regulatory structure allows these middlemen to basically receive kickbacks from insurance companies for where they set pharmaceutical prices. It is a total boondoggle. I will do at least an hour's worth of my show in the new year on PBMs because there is a very fascinating bipartisan bill that was just introduced last month in the Senate, co-written and co-sponsored by these two odd bedfellows, Senator Elizabeth Warren and Senator Josh Hawley, all about PBMs. Okay, so again, we've got the Francis Scott Key Bridge funding, we've got a bunch of emergency relief funding, and we've got this portion of the continuing resolution that is going to try to address what has been this legalized grift by pharmacy benefit managers. So Mike Johnson announced this to some fanfare. Hey, we've got bipartisan support for all of this. And what happened? Well, you get Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk and a bunch of sort of diehard Republicans indicating that they may vote no to keep the federal government funded. Great question from Jake in Madison. He asks, am I correct, Maggie, that this bill doesn't even fund for the full fiscal year, and only goes until mid-March? Yes, Jake, that is correct. And that is very typical of CRs. They will just effectively kick it out basically a quarter to keep it funded. Usually lawmakers like to do this, one, because they all want to go home for Christmas and get out of Washington, D.C. And two, often it is employed because they are in an election cycle and they'd rather be having this fight over how to fund the government after an election cycle has concluded. Obviously, it's the Christmas season and the lawmakers all want to go home. Oh, another little tidbit that's in this continuing resolution that you all might be interested in. Congress is proposing to give themselves a raise. Yes, you heard it right here. Congress, in this continuing resolution, proposing giving themselves a raise. They're calling it a COLA adjustment. The last time they tried to do this, there was an incredible amount of pushback and public uproar. So it was stripped out the last time they tried to do this, which I believe was a number of years ago. So that's back in this CR. There is $29 billion in funds going to the Federal Emergency Management Agency. There is $21 billion going to the Agricultural Department and another $10 billion in additional aid to farmers and ranchers. The bill also proposes to replenish the Small Business Administration's disaster loan program, which exhausted its lending authority after Hurricanes Helene and Milton earlier this year. So lots going on there. I got to take a chuckle. Mark from Prairie du Sac texting in. It's Vivek Ramaswamy. Oh, Mark, I love a good pun. Indeed, pretty interesting to hear a couple of billionaires deride a continuing resolution that proposes to try to better fund our emergency response apparatus in federal government. I don't really ever think billionaires find themselves at the brunt end of weather events. Do you? I don't really think that's on their list of things to worry about. But watch this space. I think this is going to be a really interesting bellwether, an interesting canary in the coal mine about whether or not Mike Johnson can actually control the Republican caucus in the House of Representatives. And I also just want to make this point. When we look at, you know, again, the aid to farmers and ranchers, this massive investment of billions of dollars in our federal emergency relief programs across a number of agencies, it's interesting to me that oftentimes from the right, you hear this constant drumbeat of smaller government, smaller government, smaller government. except when it's your constituents, except when it's your district that gets hit by a natural disaster, right? Except when it's the plant in your district, except when it's the military base in your district, except when it's the farming and ranching communities in your state, right? Like all of this sort of rhetoric, it is often belied by what these particular legislators do when it comes to their own home districts. Again, what's good for me or what the rules are for me ain't the rules for thee. And that seems to be a repeating pattern here. Again, just an absolutely fascinating moment. Watch this space, especially given that we now have Republicans outwardly almost every day saying, with cameras rolling and tapes rolling, that cutting Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid is on the table. Statements to that effect were made just today by Representative Greg Gomez. He's a Republican out of Colorado. As he was walking into the, get this now, y'all, the Doge Caucus, the Department of Government Efficiency, which isn't really a department. It's just a made-up thing by Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and Vivek Ramaswamy. Yeah, there's now a Doge Caucus. Said on a hot mic, specifically, yep, we're looking at cuts to Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Remember this, when Donald Trump and the rest of the GOP are proposing tax cuts for billionaires and 100 millionaires and tax cuts for businesses like Amazon and Walmart. Remember that, because there are lots of ways to approach government funding, government revenues, and government deficits. And it seems to me that as the middle class has been struggling, the first thing that we should be looking at ain't cutting the very systems and programs like Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid that so many of us rely upon to make ends meet. I'm going to talk about more of that and do a deeper dive on Social Security tomorrow. I'm going to give you that sound from Representative Gomez tomorrow. We'll review Ron Johnson saying they should zero these programs out. We'll review Tom Tiffany saying exactly the same thing, as well as Representative Richard McCormick just a couple of weeks ago saying exactly the same darn thing. Let's go to the lines. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you say what this afternoon, sir?
Well, you left one out as far as when Republicans think government should be involved. It's women's reproductive health. They think they should be fully involved in that. But on the economics, I can't help but think of Dickens in A Christmas Carol, because my mother always used to read this to us four boys. We were all in the same room, you know, at Christmas time. And the most terrifying part to me, even now as an adult, is the two children beneath the ghost of Christmas presents as robes. The boy is ignorance, this girl is want. Beware them both in all of their degree, but most of all, beware this boy. Now, the Republican Party just seem to be ignoring that. They seem to embrace ignorance, and they ignore want, and that on the brow of that boy is written doom. I mean, that they are going to break the back of this of our economy and break the back of this nation, I think.
Yes, Mark. What a good reminder of what was written so many hundreds of years ago. Are there no workhouses, right? Are there no poor houses? Back when Britain used to criminalize poverty. Something for all of us to consider. When we come back, I'm going to give you the update about the ethics report about Matt Gaetz, his drug use, and maybe paying underage girls for sex. Ugh. That guy was almost our attorney general. Keep it locked. They said that report was buried, but may it see the light of day before January 1st. We discuss next right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that to me is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Eagle 1490 AM.
We all have that friend that was like the three-sport star athlete. We all knew that guy or gal in high school. One of my buddies, her name was Michelle Hanford. This girl could play any sport. She walked onto the varsity soccer team at Rufus King High School for the College Bound, went out and played college hoops. And no big surprise, I saw her not too long ago. She looks exactly like she did in high school, and all three of her kids are going to college on athletic scholarships. Boy, she was an amazing athlete. Greetings, Michelle. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where I, on occasion, will take cues from my intro music for your amusement and entertainment. My big thanks to Cardi on the board today. Folks, if you want to join our fine program, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. I wanted to share with you that I almost fell out of my chair today when the news update came across my phone saying that the House Ethics Committee, which is comprised of an equal number of Republicans and Democrats, had in a secret vote, note secret vote, has determined that they are going to release the ethics report on Matt Gaetz. Fascinating, isn't it? Now, recall, Matt Gaetz, last month, just about, I don't know, a week after his reelection, quit his job as a congressman. Quit his job as a congressman because Donald Trump, in his infinite wisdom, had decided that Matt Gaetz would make a fine, fine attorney general, despite the fact that at that point, the House Ethics Committee had not yet made a determination about whether or not to release this ethics report. Back up even further, what exactly was the House Ethics Committee investigating? They were investigating the following in no particular order: that Matt Gaetz had engaged in illegal drug use during his time as a congressman, that Matt Gaetz had shown nude photos on the floor of the House of Representatives. Ew. That Matt Gaetz had potentially engaged in some sort of illegal payment for sex. Whether the women that were involved were minors or not, there have been conflicting accounts. The attorney for at least one of the women that accused Matt Gaetz said that she saw not once but twice Matt Gaetz having sex with a minor, that she had directly witnessed that conduct. So we will see what the House Ethics Report has to say. I have to tell you all, I am totally shocked that this vote came down this way. I simply did not think the House committee was going to ever release this report. And the reason that I thought so was, one, they didn't want to potentially, bring the wrath of MAGA on themselves. And secondly, because, I mean, do the math, right? The House Ethics Committee, even number of Dems and Republicans, you had to have at least one Republican vote to release the report. And because Matt Gaetz is no longer a member of Congress. So I think if we're going to prognosticate, I'm shaking my magic eight ball here. Shake, 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 shake. Why did the House Ethics Committee decide to do this? One of two reasons I think is likely true. Either one, it's really bad, and a Republican member of Congress felt an ethical or moral compulsion to make sure that the public was fully informed of these facts, or on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, it was kind of benign and they couldn't reach any definitive conclusions beyond the he said, she said of that can sometimes characterize these sorts of allegations. So I'm just completely shocked by this. And remember, House Republicans just I think about 2 weeks ago blocked a vote on the floor of the House of Representatives by Democrats to force the release of the report. So you had Republicans in that moment on the House floor blocking Democrats' efforts to try to force the release of the report. But again, when the House Ethics Committee met in secret, they vote to release the report. Let's also remember that the MAGA-approved Senate leader was not chosen. Again, when the GOP senators met, they met in secret. What's the lesson here? And to me, it tells me this very clearly, that when Republican elected officials meet in secret and their votes aren't going to be made public on matters critical to how their caucus or how their party is going to move forward, they do break ranks with the MAGA movement. But they only have the courage to do so in secret. They won't ever do that in public. That, to me, is the sign of true cowardice. Say what you will about Democrats, but boy, do we know how to have public fights, don't we? For better or ill, we have all of our fights out there in the open, and everybody makes hay about it. But here, in not one, but two instances in the last month and a half, Republicans in Congress breaking ranks with the MAGA movement, but only doing so in secret. You draw your conclusions. I certainly have drawn mine. When we come back, I do have to share with you the other eyebrow-raising bit of news from the last 24 hours. Did you think we were done with Herschel Walker? Not quite yet, y'all. That is coming up next, as well as updates on the Madison school shooting, as well as updates on Luigi Mangione's indictment that dropped yesterday. And then we're going to get to your favorite and most annoying holiday music, all coming up next after news, weather, and sports at the top of the hour here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked, y'all.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Dom Selvia.
Just PS, Dom's producer here. Next time, Matt Rothschild and Angela Lang will guest host, guiding us through how we can move forward with poetry.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The House expected to take up a temporary spending bill to fund the government past the Friday deadline. President-elect Trump's advisor Elon Musk posting on social media platform X that he opposes the funding bill. ABC's Jay O'Brien says the House Speaker is pushing ahead.
Mike Johnson has always had a further right contingent of his conference that has opposed any kind of temporary government funding measure, which needs to be passed by the end of this week in order to avert a government shutdown. And then Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy also coming out against this. The reality is Mike Johnson has the votes amongst Democrats most likely to get this government funding plan over the goal line.
The Federal Reserve making another quarter point interest rate cut. Fed Chair Jerome Powell says the labor market has cooled to help further tame inflation. Residents and fire crews in California under red flag wildfire warnings. The Santa Ana winds are back and a winter storm with ice and snow on the move in the Northeast. This is ABC News.
Your news.